Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Bhakti Lila, text 99. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, I need to just get comfortable here. Every time I'm in a different place, I have a different seat in a different place. So, Sarva Bhoma Laya Gela Apanabhavana Tatiya Prahare Prabhurahai La Chaitana. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Lord Jagannath in the temple and fell down unconscious, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took him to his home. The Lord remained unconscious until the afternoon when he finally regained his consciousness. Nityananda Jagananda Damodar Mukunda Pachyase Mile Sabhi Pala Anandana. The Lord had left Nityananda's company and had gone alone to the Jagannath temple. But later, Nityananda, Jagannanda, Damodar, and Mukunda came to see him. And after seeing him, they were very pleased. Tabe sarva bhome prabhu prasad karila apana ishvara murti tante dekala. After this incident, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his mercy upon Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya by showing him his original form as the Lord. Tabita karila prabhu dakshina gamana korma sheta kaili vasudeva vimochana. Upon bestowing mercy upon Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the Lord started to southern India, where he came to Kumarchetra. He delivered a person named Vasudev. Om Gana Timurandasya Gyanam Jana Salakaya Taksuram Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupakadhamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Adadanastanam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimadrupa Padamboja Dulisham Janma Janmani. Paragi Yugbhakti Visam Payatnai Apayamam Manabhipsamandam Kapambuhiya Paradukaduki Sanatanastam Prabhumasriyami. Pancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Greetings from Visant Falls, New York. I'm at my place and I plan to spend much of the summer here just chanting and writing. I did my tour and visited so many people. Of course, I'll still be traveling to various places, but it's going to be a little bit reduced, which was my plan to finally settle down and write. I'm writing a book on Bhakti, a contemporary book. One day, I think when I finish the first chapter, I'll read it to the audience. Really nice yesterday in upstate New York, but not here at the Dr. Revel's house, which is the site of the Panihati Festival. I had the great fortune of getting the divine association of my God brothers, His Holiness Radhanath Swami and Niranjan Swami. If someone just came on the phone, if you could mute your phone, if possible. I think you press number six. Okay, the last person who just came on, if they tried it.
Yeah.
Who's it?
It's Bhagavati.
Bhagavati, how nice to hear from you. Thank you.
Hare
Krishna. Hare Bo. Okay. I had the great fortune of getting the divine association of my God brothers, and as I've been explaining how important it is, the meditation on great souls, I gave that example of a teenager who goes in their room, and in their room is various pictures of movie stars, etc., and images of sportsmen, and by meditating and seeing those forms, you think what of their qualities, and you're associating with those forms because you're desiring their qualities. You're looking at a movie star because you want more sex life. You're looking at an athlete because you want to increase your ego, and just by doing that, the aspiration from those qualities, they somehow bring those qualities into your heart. And therefore, the most important thing in bhakti is sadhu sangha. You associate with devotees, and it's so inspiring because they exemplify the qualities that you want. And the qualities that you want that they have, which is selflessness and devotion and dedication to guru, etc., it's so attractive. And I think it's even, in terms of Krishna consciousness, it's a universal principle. I think the principle is that selfishness is unbecoming and selflessness is quite becoming. So it's very nice, and I remember just being with them and their transcendence. I remember sitting with Niranjan Swami. It's so nice, and he was, you know, he's been ill, and he's been in one place for quite a while, maybe for 5 or 6 months. He's just probably never been healthier than he was in one sense, because he is trying to recuperate his health by staying in one place. But it was so nice. He has time to really take shelter of the holy name, and describing his meditation, the sense of just emptying yourself, looking at your heart and emptying yourself of all anarthas, things that have no value to Krishna consciousness, all selfishness and material desires. And I can see his meditation, and it was just very, very inspiring. And immediately, returning here, just by that association, I started the same types of meditation, the same chanting, meditating on his realizations, etc. So one of the functions of this Sangha is to share with you some of the association that I get. So we're in this Madhya Leela, and which is the Sesha Leela, the end Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is after he took sannyas. We're following him, and we're meditating on his divine form as he took sannyas and he heads to Vrindavan, chanting the verse by the Avanti Brahmin, about taking shelter at the lotus feet of Mukunda. And we see the attachment of Lord Nityananda, who tricks him to go back to Shantipur, Navadvip, and we see his attachment for his devotees, and the Lord's attachment for his devotees forces him sometimes to transcend the principles, the regulative principles, just like he always, as a sannyasi wants to eat so simple, but his devotees have so much devotion for him, and they have so much love and devotion for him that they always want him to take the nice food stuff, and so we actually see the Lord, you know, almost always in kind of this dilemma between the principle, and he tries to maintain them both. He tries to adjust them both. between the principles of sannyas and sometimes the desires of his devotees. I'll just tell now, this sangha is usually more serious, but one story came to me that I'll share with you about love transcending the rules. When I became first became a devotee, and I don't want to tell a story, my parents kidnapped me, and then I escaped, and we were estranged, and then somehow I wound up in New York. I was in Texas. When I wound up in New York, somehow my parents found out that I was in the 55th Street Temple, and my father started visiting me, and then on Sunday all my relatives came. And I remember they were in the lobby. I can remember this as it was yesterday. And my Uncle Mike and my Aunt Millie came. And they had a very, very loving relationship. And the relationship was that Millie loved to feed Mike. And Mike had angina, a very sincere heart problem. But she loved him so much. She always wanted to feed him. And I remember when they came to the New York Temple in the lobby, the devotees came out with a plate of pakoras and tomato chutney. And Mike, their relationship was over food, he took one of the pakoras, which he shouldn't have eaten due to his heart condition, and looked at the chutney and said with affection to Millie, "Look, Millie, a dip," and put it in. And she was just feeding him these pakoras, but... So out of the love, she transcended the rules. So Lord Chaitanya was a sannyas, not really so much supposed to go back home, but the love of his devotees rules supreme. And he went home and he made that adjustment, and his mother said, okay. And his mother also, she loved him so much, but she was also that love. You know, love has two aspects. You want to be with the person, but the higher aspect of the love is that you want them to be happy. And of course, you want to be with the person to serve them. And you want to be with them to serve them and make them happy. But if Lord Chaitanya would stay home, he would be criticized. Mother Sachi was concerned for that also, so her decision was he can stay in Puri. Because in Puri, it's almost like it's the next town, although it's 12 hours away, even by train, days by foot. It's next door to Bengal, kind of, because the Bengalis always go there, even now, and the Aryans go to Bengal. So there'd be a constant change of, at least they'd be accessible to the devotees of Navadvip, and Mother Sachi would get word. So we see this wonderful journey of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's chanting in ecstasy, and Dik, something like that. He didn't even know sometimes which direction he was in. And he headed out with some, and we see that he goes to Ramuna, and we get the message as he's along. You know, he's going to Puri, to realize the highest truth, which is the love of Srimati Radharani, the most confidential aspect of reality and Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. But still, on his way there, we see it was interesting because when he gets there, he begins to narrate as the Pikram guy the story he heard from Ishwar Puri about the deity, which and also the story of Madhavendra Puri. So we get to see the high ecstasy of Madhavendra Puri, but also his love for the deity. Now, there's sometimes a misunderstanding that deity is for the neophyte. Deity is not for the neophytes. Deity means also the neophytes can worship the deity. Because we see even Vrindavan, the most advanced Vaishnavas, Rupa had Radha Govinda, Jiva, Radha Damodar, Sanatana Goswami had worshipped Madan Mohan. So the great devotees, they also worship the deity, but on a higher level. We actually see that the deity, the Archa Vigraha, is non-different than Krishna. And it's also, at the end of the story, we also see it's non-different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because when the devotees look at the deity and they see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they see the same color, the same luster, the same beauty. So we also see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that deity Gopal, and is that deity Sakshi Gopal. anyway, then he goes to Sakshi Gopal, and then a wonderful pastime there where this time Lord Nityananda explains that wonderful, wonderful pastime. And he becomes the Prikram guide from what he's heard from the local village on his previous tour there, because as we know, Lord Nityananda, after he left home, he traveled with the sannyasi, and then he went to all the pilgrimage places. So Lord Nityananda tells that story, and again we see the living deity, the talking deity, the walking deity, because it's non-different than Krishna, and one who has eyes to see, and the devotion to repose in that form, Krishna will appear to him or reveal that he has actually manifested as the Archavigraha. So somehow or other, this point of the approach to Krishna through the deity is being stressed. And then, finally, Lord Chaitanya is on his way to Puri, and he gets to Bhuvaneshwar, and then after Bhuvaneshwar, I'm trying to find something here to share. Just one second here. Okay. He gets to Bhuvaneshwar, and then after Bhuvaneshwar, he's about to enter Puri, and there's a river there called Dandabhanga Nadi, the river Nadi, where the sannyas staff was broken, and when Lord Chaitanya goes in to take darshan of Lord Shiva, who is Digpal. Digpal means he's the protector of the Dham. Even in Vrindavan, at the different directions, Vrajanabha, Krishna's great grandson, established four main Shiva lingas. Digpal means to protect the different directions. It's very important, because to enter the Dham, one has to rid himself of the false ego. And because the Dham is imbued with prakriti bhav, the mood of I am for the enjoyment of another, not the mood of ahankara, everything is meant for the enjoyment of myself. So you go to Lord Shiva and you pray, because he's the presiding deity of the false ego. You pray that he removes the false ego. So we see before entering Puri, it's also very significant that the danda is broken in three places by Lord Nityananda, and then somewhere as entering Puri, Lord Chaitanya asked, where is his danda? And Lord Nityananda, I think, lies. It tells a little fib there that, you know, you're in ecstasy, you fell on it, it broke. And Lord Chaitanya became a little bit upset. And he became upset because, again, there's the fine line that he was setting, he wanted to set the example of the respect for the regulative principles, although Lord Nityananda set the example that he was above the regulative principles, above the principle. And when you say above the regular principles, it doesn't mean you break them. It means you don't need laws to guide your life, because your life is guided by pure love and devotion, which moves perfectly towards the goal. And therefore, you may not always avail yourself of the rule if it doesn't serve your purpose of devotion. So, And people have asked about this story, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's called Parama Gambira. Gambira means the deepest. It's the supremely deep lila. And one time I went there, and there was this sadhu there at Dandabhanga Nadi, and he was going on and on that this is the supreme lila, the Parama Gambira lila, and he was mentioning that this was a very esoteric explanation, not in the CC, but he was explaining, the saint explained, that what is the danda? The danda is a manifestation of the Sudarshana Chakra. What is the Sudarshana Chakra? It's the Shakti. It's therefore a manifestation of Radharani. So in this pastime, there's Lord Nityananda together with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna and Radharani. He went on and on. But let's just read Prabhupada's purport, and he'll explain about this. He says, One who understands Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda in reality can understand their identity, as well as their breaking of the staff. All previous acharyas, being induced to engage themselves fully in the service of the Lord, gave up attachment to material life and thus accepted the staff, which signifies full engagement of the mind, body, and speech in the service of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the regulative principles of the renounced order. This is completely clear. However, in the Paramahamsa stage, there is no need to accept a danda or a staff. So there's four stages of sannyas. I explained it in many classes, Bahudak, Kudichak, Parivrajakacharya, and Paramahamsa. At the highest stage of Paramahamsa, where you are completely pure in heart, there's no need to guide yourself by any external principles, even sannyas. So one gives up the danda. Again, it doesn't mean that one goes and has sex life. It means that he doesn't have to be a vairagi. He doesn't have to meditate on giving up attachment because he's purely attached to Krishna and his heart moves in that way. And therefore, Lord Nityananda who is the servant of Godhead, knowing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to sit in Puri in the highest level of Avirudha Mahabhav, which is only accessible to Srimati Radharani, the highest level of devotion, wanted to indicate that Lord Chaitanya now was above Vanashram. And that was also why Rupa and Sanatan and the six Goswamis, you know, wore white rather than took, you know, the formal sannyas, because they were Paramahamsa Babajis. They were above any principles. And, of course, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, for the same reason that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas, reinstituted the order of sannyas for the purpose that Lord Chaitanya did, for the purpose of preaching Krishna consciousness. Nonetheless, to indicate that everyone should take sannyas at the end of life in order to engage fully in the service of the Lord, even Paramahamsas like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his confidential devotees follow the regulative principles unfailingly. Indeed, that was his purpose. Nityananda Prabhu, who was his eternal servitor, believed that there was no need for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to carry the staff and to declare to the world that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was above all regulations. He broke it into three pieces. The pastime known as Dandabhanga Leela is thus explained by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So then we know, it's nice sometimes, because I repeat a little bit of the stories, but sometimes today it feels a little bit fresher, and we always try to go a little further. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, then we have the Leela of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's a little bit angry. He said, now you all wait here to Damodar, Jagannanda, Nityananda. I will go ahead alone. And he goes and he sees the chakra of the temple, and he becomes in so much expectation out of that devotion of seeing the Lord, because the temple represents the Lord. You feel that devotion when you see the chakra of the temple. That's the Lord's temple. And he was in such anticipation that a moment seemed like 12 years or more. And I thought about this. It's when you're focused on the present, you don't feel time. Time is in the past, and time is in the future. And it's just like meditating. If you actually can meditate on the holy name and not think about finishing your rounds, if you actually meditate on the holy name, then it becomes timeless. So it's the same thing in that expectation, in that ecstasy. The Vaishnavas, you know, when will that day be? When will the deity, when will I see Krishna? When will I see Krishna? then time seems to stretch. So he was there, and he was, and then he came and he ran into the temple. We can imagine. Can you imagine the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to embrace the deities and then faints and ecstatic symptoms? And then we saw Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya coming and examining him and taking him to his home and seeing that his abdomen was not even moving. He thought maybe he was dead, and then took that cotton by his nose. And then he understood he was living, but he was at, you know, he's at the highest stage of transcendental ecstasy manifesting in his body. And such a very, very wonderful lila. And then, you know, he finally, his brother-in-law comes, who's Gopinath Acharya. Now, Gopinath Acharya, somehow or other, was an associate of Mukunda Dutta, who is one of the four or five people traveling with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he somehow knew him. And he was actually a Vaishnava. So the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he saw, he was very interested. He said, "I'm very attracted to this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, he's very, very beautiful and handsome, and he's such a wonderful sannyasi. But I worry about him." Then he says, and what order did he take sannyas? And then Gopinath Acharya says, "Well, he took in Bharati. It's a order of sannyas. He took in this Bharati." And he replied that his name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and his sannyas preceptor is the greatly fortunate Keshava Bharati. But Sarvabhata, but he said, Krishna is a good name, but Bharati, he's a second-class sannyasi, because there's different orders of sannyasi. And then Gopinath Acharya tells him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not rely on external formality. There is no need for him to accept sannyas. Again, from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to reinitiate him, and Gopinath Acharya says, "You do not understand. This is not an ordinary person. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And because such a wonderful point, he says to him, "Because you think yourself a separate and independent God, you cannot, that even though the Supreme Lord is standing before you, you do not recognize him. This is the principle of material life. Ahankara means I am the doer. It's a conception we have. Why? It means the doer means the controller. Why? Because if you want to enjoy, then things have to go your way. And for things to go your way, you have to be the controller. So unless you're the controller, you cannot be the enjoyer. And therefore, we are not the enjoyers of this world, because things are not moving our way. Constantly, they're not moving our way. And Krishna doesn't make them move our way, because as soon as they start moving our way, we start to think we're the enjoyers. We start to become complacent, and we start actually to think. When things go our way, it generally enhances ahankara, because we think, yes, I'm the enjoyer because things are moving my way. And also, when you have that conception, ahankara, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, then by necessity, you have to be in apathy of the Supreme Enjoyer and the Supreme Reality. That's the consciousness that causes illusion. Because to satisfy that desire to be the enjoyer and the controller, you have to be blind to who is the enjoyer and controller. So very, very nice philosophical points come out. And then there's some, his disciples try to defend Sarvabhauma. They're, you know, what is the evidence? There's no logical hypothesis. And then Gopinath Acharya starts to quote verse after verse. Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, look, I can, you know, he quotes a verse from the Bhagavatam where it says the Supreme Lord is Tri Yuga. He appears in three yugas. And then Gopinath Acharya explains, no, this, and he gives quote after quote from Mahabharata, from the Bhagavatam, from the birth of Krishna, when they have the name giving ceremony, then, and the astrological chart is looked at by Garga Muni. When he looks at that chart, he sees that actually he'll have a different color avatar in appearance. Your son, Krishna, he tells Nanda Maharaj, has now appeared in Dwapara Yuga as black, but he'll appear in the Satya Yuga as white, in the Treta Yuga as red, and in the Kali Yuga he'll appear as yellow. So he gives all these verses. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he feels some compassion for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some attraction. And he figures he'll teach him Vedanta, because a sannyasi has to control his senses, and the path of gyan precedes vairagya or renunciation. And to go on the path of renunciation, one must have some solid understanding of Sankhya or Vedanta. So he sits, and Lord Chaitanya patiently listens, and Sarvabhauma Sacha says, you didn't say anything. You didn't even ask a question. He said, is it you didn't understand? He said, it seems to me that it's perfectly clear, but I didn't understand your explanations. And then he explains a very, 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 very important point, that when things are not clear, it is necessary for interpretation. And that the impersonal interpretations of the Vedanta are skewed meanings, but the direct interpretation is very, very clear. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes from the Bhagavatam a very, very famous verse that shows that transcendence is not non-dual, that transcendence is filled with qualities. In fact, the Vaishnav Samadhi is called Sampragata Samadhi. Vaishnav Samadhi means you're meditating on the pastimes and leelas of Krishna, and there's so much flowing through your consciousness that you actually, by your love for Krishna, you actually enter into that leela, and you become completely unaware of the outside world. So he quotes this verse, which is given to describe Sukadeva Goswami. Atmaramas chamunayo nigranant apyukrame kovanta huitakim bhaktam. The Atmarama, one who is self-satisfied, he has no attachment to this material world, but he's attracted to the qualities of Krishna, which means that the qualities of Krishna are transcendental. And this applied to Sukadeva Goswami, who left his mother's womb when he was 14, only to come back when he heard the students of his father Vyasadeva, who was searching for him, quoting verses from the Bhagavatam describing the mercy of Krishna and the glorious qualities of Tavakatam Ritam Tapta Jivanam Avivyakalmatam. Of Krishna Katha, and then Sarvabhauma heard this verse. He said, "Well, would you please explain this verse to me?" Lord Chaitanya said, "I'm your disciple. You explain it." So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gave an explanation in 9 different ways, and then Lord Chaitanya said, "This is very nice." And then Lord Chaitanya, he explained Atmaram, self-satisfied, in terms of every single word in that verse, gave 64 explanations of the Atmarama verse to show that the import of that verse is that the Supreme Absolute Truth is full of variegatedness and personality. And when he finally heard that, then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya just completely, he was subdued by the transcendental knowledge of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he completely surrendered at his lotus feet. He was completely transformed, although at the beginning of the chapter he was described as Kutarka, the reservoir of all bad logic, Karkashayam, he had a hard heart. And he became Bhakti Bhumanam Achare, into a great personality of a devotee. And it's actually significant, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his preaching, Who, he converted the leaders of society to start his movement. He converted the leaders of society. Who did Chaitanya? Nityananda went all over Bengal, Jagai Madhai Papi Chilo, Jagai Madhai Papi Chilo. The most, Papi Chilo means the most sinful. That's why we are so attracted to Lord Nityananda, because he's the savior of the most fallen. So is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Patita Pavana, but he did it mostly through Nityananda. He himself, of course, in South India, he converts the leper, but his main preaching is who? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I think the chief priest of the Tirupati temple, the greatest logician of the time. Gopal Bhatta, the son of the chief priest of the biggest temple of India in Trivandrum. Raghunath Das Goswami, the richest man, the son of the richest man in West Bengal. Rupa and Sanatan, the prime minister and chief minister of one of the most prominent countries, because in India at that time wasn't one country, it was many countries, Orissa, or Bengal and Orissa. So his preaching was so substantial and it was so potent that this hard-hearted logician with a reservoir of all bad logic is converted by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's converted to such a degree that when Lord Chaitanya comes to his house in the morning, he immediately comes, he just gets up, his mouth is not washed, and against all regulative principles of smarta Brahmanism, he takes that prasadam, the prasadam of the Supreme Lord, and he honors it without even washing his mouth and cleaning himself. Sri Chaitanya is so pleased. Look how he's become such a bhakta, how devotion and respect reign supreme over any regulations or principles. That he's honoring, and then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya starts quoting from the Padma Purana the verses of the glories of Mahaprasad, just like a Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he would see a disciple with Mahaprasad, Mahaprasadam Govinde, Nama Brahmani Vaishnave, Swapa Punya Rato Rajam, Vishvaso Navajayate, when he would see him with the prasadam, he would become so pleased, so happy, so faithful, that he would circumambulate his disciple and pay obeisances to that prasadam. The faith that one has in Mahaprasadam as the mercy of the Lord, and he becomes so devotional that in this verse the 16th chapter of the Bhagavatam from Lord Brahma's prayers, where Lord Brahma, after feeling so bad about his past and accepting the full consequences of it, Tate nukampam susamikshamano bhujana evatma kritam vipakam idag vipur bhir vidadham tamaste jiveti o bhakti pradeh sadai. So this verse is actually jivetiyo mukti pada sadayabhak, that one who seeks the Lord's compassion and tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions, thinking them they're just due to the karma of his past deeds, and he engages always in the Lord's devotional service with his mind, bodies, and words, and repeatedly, in all his difficulties, offers obeisances to him, is certainly a qualified candidate for mukti, liberation. So he changed the bhakti, and Lord Chaitanya explains, you don't have to change it to bhakti. This verse is about bhakti. And mukti means bhakti. Muktir hidva yata rupam sarupena vivastita. That real mukti is attaining your sarup, so you don't have to change the word. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, it is ambiguous. Mukti can also mean impersonalism. We have to change this verse of the Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased. He said, just see his transformation. That he cannot know he was the greatest impersonalist. and the greatest false logician and the reservoir of all bad logic. And now he cannot even tolerate to hear the word mukti. And actually, he became such a great devotee when Lord Chaitanya, you see, because after, in January, he takes sannyas, in February, he goes in Puri, then in April, he converts Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and then in June, he decides to go to South India to liberate the conditioned souls. Of course, he does it on the pretense of searching out Vishvarup. But when he begins to go and leave, he takes permission from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And this is after only 1 month. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya looks at him and says, after many births due to pious activities, I got your association. Now providence is breaking this invaluable association. If a thunderbolt falls on my head or if my son dies, I can tolerate it. But I cannot endure the unhappiness of separation from you. My Lord, you are the independent supreme personality. Certainly you will depart. I know that still I ask you to stay for a few more days so that I can see your lotus feet. So this is the conversion of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and then he composes these verses, and actually it's so interesting because they're glorifications of Lord Chaitanya. So when he goes in, Mukunda says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I have verses glorifying Lord Chaitanya." Then Mukunda took those verses and wrote them on the wall outside. Why? Because as soon as Lord Chaitanya, Trinadapi Sanichena, Tarorapi Sahishnana, Amanina, Madhanena, Kirtanesa, as soon as Lord Chaitanya heard these verses in his glorification, he ripped them up. And we wouldn't have them if Mukunda didn't write those two verses on the wall outside the room. So these are the verses that he wrote. He wrote Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Sikshartam Ekam Purusha Parana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sarira Dari Kripam Budhir Yastamaham Papadye. Let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us real knowledge, his devotional service, and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. He has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender to his lotus feet. Lord Chaitanya says, let me see that verse. He rips it up. Kalan nashtam bhakti yogam nijaya Padushkatam Krishna Chaitanya Nama Avirbhutastasipadhara Vinde Gadam Gadam Lilayatam Chitta Bringa. Let my consciousness, which is like a honeybee, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has now just appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach the ancient system of devotional service. This system has been lost due to the influence of time. So he just rips those up, but luckily Mukunda. So now, after this, and this will probably be the next class, and if those of you on Wednesday are not there on Sunday, Lord Chaitanya then goes out on pilgrimage. And the devotees want to stop him. Because Lord Chaitanya wants to go to a pilgrimage place, and he wants to go according to the regulative principles, in a mood of detachment. Chirayavatani haritoshanani, you go just for the pleasure of the Lord. But he doesn't want to go with his devotees, because they're not going to allow him to perform austerities. They're not going to allow him to eat simply. And, you know, so he's he wants to go alone. And he, Nittai pleads with him. He says, you know, your two hands, you're going to be chanting. So you need to at least bring at least one person to carry a water pot and an extra set of kopins or something like that. Because, and then Prabhupada explained how even Lord Chaitanya chanted a fixed number of rounds. So this is a very, and it's very nice. I'm very happy here. Somehow I didn't plan this with the Madhya Leela because I really haven't read in a while. But I'm seeing in this way, somehow I'm going to be able to actually give a little synopsis of the CC, because each couple of verses describe a whole chapter. Actually, we've already now finished the first volume, which is chapters 1 to 6, at least. In other words, we've already gone over the verses that cover the first third of the Madhya Leela, or maybe the first fifth of the Madhya Leela. So that's kind of nice. And now, you know, he'll now go on pilgrimage. He'll go to Kurukshetra. We'll see the Korma Brahmin and his instructions to him. Yari deka tari koha krishna upadesh amara agyai guru haya tara idesh. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate the land. So many things are there. Stay at home. Don't take sannyas, he says. No need to. Just stay at home and preach Krishna consciousness. And everything will be adjusted. And this is, you know, Prabhupada's mood. You can see Prabhupada when he was a grihastha. He was always in the mood of preaching Krishna consciousness. Of course, everyone has a different capacity on how they can participate. So according to one's capacity, they should participate in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, preaching Krishna consciousness. And this is the way to invoke the mercy of the Lord and to purify one's household. So we should all do service for the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who is that?
Me.
Oh, Gail. You know, Gail, I really thank you for this, because whenever I would give class in Vrindavan, right?
Yeah.
Because I have a sense of entertainment, right? So I have to have, like, characters on my show, you know? And when they come up, kind of like people appreciate, even one person asked me, like, you know, who is that Gail? Okay, you got a question, Gail.
Yeah, it's about samadhi. You're describing that when a person goes into samadhi, they enter Krishna's pastime. And I understand that on the one hand, they, you know, they become oblivious, let's say, to the external environment. But on the other side of it, what is the extent of their participation in the leela?
It's interesting. There's actually two levels perfection. The first is called Sarup Siddhi, and one is called Vastu Siddhi. Sarup Siddhi is when you get a sense of your eternal relationship with Krishna, and you have a kind of visualization of it, but you're still within this body. And Vastu Siddhi means you actually get a substance of a body in Krishna's leela. So for someone who's not yet at that level, I could say that somehow or other, by your devotion and your... Of course, there are great souls, Seva Sadaka Rupena, Siddha Rupena Chaturhi, who actually have perfected forms in both leelas. When we think of Rupa Goswami and we think of Rupa Manjari, he's actually in both leelas simultaneously. You're in Gaur Leela and Krishna Leela simultaneously. And I think it's Prabhupada explained that according to your inclination, you can be in one or the other or both. So the entrance into that Leela, I would guess that the Samadhi is a very, very high level of meditation. But I guess when you're still in this world and you can actually concentrate and focus like that, then unless you're a person who's descending, it's kind of you're meditating on the Leela and you can almost see yourself there. The Lord's internal potency is kind of floating in your consciousness and you have some sense of that. But and then it's described that if you achieve bhava, which means in this life, which is a full sense of your eternal relationship with Krishna, then in your next life you get born in Krishna's pastimes. You actually get a body in that Leela. But even then, if you're coming from this world, unless you have the association of the Nitya Siddha Parikas, the eternal associates of the Lord, still the bhava does not manifest to the stage where you have unless you get that, your bhava is not manifest yet to the stage where you can have direct association with Krishna. And that's the Leela where the gopis hear Krishna blowing his flute. And different devotees, according to whether they're sadhana siddha, perfection, or whether they've had the association of Nitya Siddha Parikas, associates, Parikas mean, they can actually join Krishna. And those that can't, in their separation, they burn off any last attachment. Because the difference of bhava and prema, that in bhava there's still some remnants of some offenses or something. Prema means there's nothing else in the consciousness.
So in bhava, you wouldn't attain Swarup Siddhi.
In bhava you could.
You could.
But you can't attain Vastu Siddhi until you get prema.
So Swarup is an inferior, let's say, attainment, huh?
Yeah, but it's so high.
Oh yes.
Yeah, because it's because the it's almost as if in this body one cannot contain prema almost.
Uh-huh.
That one actually when one gets bhava, which is the beginning of prema, he needs to take another birth in Krishna's pastimes. You can attain prema in this body, but not prema is this bhava. Bhava is prema, but it's not yet a fully mature prema.
Mm-hmm.
And that fully mature prema is difficult to contain within the material body. So generally, you take birth in Krishna's pastime, which is a wonderful thought. Okay, Gail. Okay, we could talk all evening, I know. Thank you. Anybody else would like to say Hare Krishna? I know most of the people, and most of the people have already said Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, I have a follow-up question, but I could ask it at some other time.
Who's this?
This is Johnny Tai.
Yeah, go ahead, ask it.
It has to do with our form. They're an eternal. So, if we have an eternal form in Chaitanya Leela, what does that look like? I guess that's my question.
God, I have to. I say it's something. I think in there's what's called these padatis, these meditational books that were in our sampradaya.
Yeah,
it's something in Navadvip. You know, like a Brahmin boy, an assistant of Lord Chaitanya, something like that.
I see.
Yes, something like that. I mean, I haven't looked at this stuff in a while. It's something like, I think, a Brahmin boy in Navadvip.
Ah. Uh-huh.
But in the other sense, we do consider the sadaka rup, the perfected form of Rupa Goswami. And in one sense, it's very pleasant to even meditate on Prabhupada, almost like a sadaka rup. But in the technical literature, I believe it's kind of a Brahmin boy in Navadvip Leela with some kind of relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Okay.
I would have to look that up, though.
All right.
But it's funny. I didn't try to go so high, but somehow we went there. But anybody else like to ask a question or say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's this?
This is Govardhan Bharati.
Who?
Govardhan Bharati.
Oh, Govardhan Bharati, thank you for always listening when you can during the work week. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
Gordon.
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 Great. Where are you, Gordon?
I'm in Poughkeepsie now.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Visiting.
What?
Going to visit my parents.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Very nice. You're listening to this Gaur-lila and trying to assimilate it.
Yes.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
Very much so. Very much so.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Maharaj, this is Vegabit here. I just want to thank you. It's the first time I've logged in, and it was totally nectar.
Oh, good, good. Thank you. Thank you, Vegabit. It's, I guess what happens with your phone when you don't mute it, we hear that.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Vegavati, and anyway, maybe sometime you can call me and we can make a plan for me to go to Gitanagari. I do plan, but I usually wait till after, you know, June, but I definitely plan on going there. Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Who's this?
This is Anastasia.
Oh, I'm so happy that you could hear so regularly. You're enjoying
actually, it's 3 o'clock in the night, and the first time when I read it this way.
Oh, this is 3 o'clock at night in France.
Yeah.
Generally, you come on Sunday because it's easier for you.
Exactly, yeah.
And this is the first time on Wednesday.
Yeah, or it's Thursday.
Oh, Thursday. Wow.
Yeah.
You got some special inspiration today?
Well, yeah. I think it comes from my brother because I reestablished because he's on vacation now, Nityananda.
Yeah.
So this period, he's more in contact with me. And I get very much inspired by him, so he thinks that I'm so fortunate. He says, oh, you're so fortunate to be able to have this sangha, and he wish he could do it also. So that's what he wrote in his last email. So I think it would be nice that you hear this.
Uh-huh. I'm also very inspired by your brother, and I have affection to him. He's a very nice young devotee, isn't he? Very good.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you anyway for.
Okay. Well, we hope it was worth your waking up early to hear about Gaur-lila. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bohu. Thank you so much. That's so nice. That encourages me. Someone wakes up in France at 2 o'clock in the morning. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? I got a feeling that this Wednesday somehow is I didn't hear too many chimes, but it's kind of like a very intimate little sangha here, and somehow it's reflecting that. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, I don't want to keep you up because unlike all of you, I don't have to go to work tomorrow morning. So, okay. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah.